To help us survive spiritually in today's world, we need to understand how God speaks to us, as well as bring to light how the adversary speaks to us. The more we recognize the way both of these influences show up in our lives, the easier it is to discern and not be fooled. After publishing my book, Not Today, Satan, I felt like there was more to do to help my friends recognize Satan in their own lives. So here's a podcast, Not This Week, Satan, where we explore weekly ideas, experiences, and scriptures to be more aware of the adversary's influence, to help you gain greater desire, confidence, and strength to turn away from the adversary and towards Jesus. Today I'm doing something a little different than past episodes. I decided to have my first guest on. He's my very favorite person to listen to, so I thought you might like listening to him too. It's my husband, Mr. Travis Delaney.
Mr. Travis Delaney. I like the sound of that.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Are you happy to be here?
I am very happy to be here. This is quite the setup you have.
Thanks. You set it up for me, so.
I know.
That's why it's so nice.
That was a fishing for a compliment.
It's a nice setup.
Thanks.
So I don't know if when we first got married, Travis knew how many conversations we'd have about Satan throughout our marriage, but we have had many. And Travis has great insights about the adversary and about the gospel and just life in general. So I'm really glad we get to be hanging out recording this for all of you today. And I think you'll enjoy it too. Something that's been on our minds lately are things we have that Satan attacks because he doesn't have and never will have. These are things he's jealous of, so he works hard to try and take them away from us. These things are gifts from God, so he can't really take them, but he can influence us to lose them through our actions. So we just want to talk today about why that is, and a couple of things that maybe aren't talked about very often, and hopefully will help you see different ways he's attacking these things for you personally. Let me set this up with a little context. We were all in heaven before this life. There were plans being laid out, and there was a guy there with us named Lucifer. And Lucifer will become Satan, but before he does, he's described in the scriptures as an angel of God who was in authority in the presence of God, which I don't really fully understand what that means, but it seems like he was a big deal. Lucifer had a plan that was opposite of Heavenly Father's. It took away all our agency and all of our opportunities for growth during our time on earth. The Father rejected Lucifer's plan, and then things got a little ugly. There's one scripture that kind of summarizes all of it, how Lucifer became Satan. It's in the book of Moses, chapter 4, verse 3. "Wherefore, because that Satan rebelled against me, and sought to destroy the agency of man which I, the Lord God, had given him, and also that I should give unto him mine own power, by the power of mine only begotten, I caused that he should be cast down." So to summarize that, Lucifer rebelled against God, tried to destroy our agency, sought to steal God's power, and because of all that, was cast down and became Satan, the devil, the adversary, all those things that we know him as today. And quoting from the Book of Mormon, "And because he had fallen from heaven and had become miserable forever, he saw also the misery of all mankind. Part of his misery is due to the fact that he doesn't have some of the things we do and never will." So when preparing for this, we discussed a few things that stood out to us and picked a couple to focus on. Which one should we talk about first?
I think we should talk about our bodies first. Because that's one important gift that we've received that he will never receive. He missed out on it.
Okay. We came up with a list of some of the things we know Satan attacks around our bodies. Some of these things are obvious and others not so much. But he tempts us to be ashamed of the body, to worship our body, to become obsessed with our appearance, to be jealous of other people's bodies, to treat our own or others' bodies as objects, to use substances harmful to our bodies, to become obsessed with the pleasures of the body, to forget the importance of the body, to misuse our bodies, to not use our bodies, to despise the limits of our bodies, to not realize, acknowledge, or understand that our bodies are a sacred gift from our heavenly parents.
So we don't want to go into detail about these things. We just wanted to list them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the main thing that stood out to us wasn't the things that he did or that he does, but it's the reason why he does it, right?
Yeah. And it was really cool while we were researching this topic and trying to learn more. A friend of mine just randomly sent me a BYU devotional. It's called Things As They Really Are, and it was by Elder Bednar.
Well, reading through that talk, the main takeaway, the thing that stood out to us the most, was that moment that Lucifer rebelled against God and didn't come to Earth to receive a body, he stopped progressing.
And since that was our next step for progression, right? So since Satan and his followers didn't take that step, they can't ever take another step forward.
Yeah, so just being here on Earth, receiving our body, and the decisions we make here are all part of our eternal progression. But their eternal progression is over. They don't get to progress anymore. So as imperfect as we are here on Earth, all the mistakes we make and all the disappointment and anger that that might cause, I think it's still comforting to know that since we got our bodies and since we came here to Earth, we are still progressing.
Mm-hmm. We have that opportunity to continue to move forward.
Yep.
There's nothing stopping us like it is stopping them.
Yep. But Satan and his followers, since they're done progressing, then they're going to be really mad and they're going to want to do everything they can to make us move backwards and to stop moving forward, stop progressing.
Right. They'll say what they need to and do what they need to entice us to misuse our bodies and to mistreat our bodies, to just do everything that will be harmful to us.
Basically everything on that list that we listed out. I really like talking about the why he does it because it makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. It's jealousy. So now that we know all this, what should we do about it?
I think just recognizing and admitting that Satan has influence on our bodies and that we have weaknesses and he's attacking them, I think that's a good first step, just recognizing it. And once we realize this and we realize the importance of our bodies in the plan of salvation, our bodies being a piece and a step in our eternal progression, I think just knowing that can give us a lot of strength in our pursuit to take care of our bodies and to overcome temptation.
The one other thing we wanted to make sure that we talked about that Satan doesn't have, that he attacks relentlessly, is our families, and specifically our family relationships. Do you remember the story President Packer has told a couple times about a snake attacking a bird's nest in his backyard?
I do remember that, yeah.
You do?
Uh-huh.
So he likened it to Satan attacking our homes and our families. And I loved what he said right after that story. And I'm not going to read it. I'm going to play it because we need to hear his scratchy voice.
We will not always be safe from the adversary's influence, even within our own home. We need to protect our nestlings. In order to do that, we must first acknowledge that Satan, the devil, lives, what his purposes are, and what his intentions would be, and what our defenses should be.
Ooh, that's your first time playing an audio clip on your podcast. How does that feel?
Real good, especially since it was President Packer.
Oh, yeah.
Got to add him in. So if you have listened to any of the episodes of this podcast or read my book, you'll probably get why I love that quote so much. Because Satan is real, and I love hearing an apostle testify that we need to acknowledge it and that that's the only way to keep our family safe is to know that he's real, know his intentions, know that he wants to destroy us, and then do all that we can to protect our families.
Yeah, I think your first step is acknowledging that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't acknowledge that it's happening, then how are you going to be able to stop it?
Right. He wants to destroy our families because his main goal is disrupting the Lord's work. And that is such a central part of it all, of the whole plan of salvation.
Yeah. And he is never going to have a family. And we know that families are the basic unit of heaven.
So we have this list of different ways that Satan attacks the family. Maybe it's tempting us to put too much energy and emphasis on the importance of material wealth. Or he might entice us with whispers of jealousy within the family or envy of other families. And there's plenty of ways that the family is attacked through social pressures and the way media is portrayed and constantly in our faces. He can tempt us with things that lead to addictions or discouragement or dishonesty or anything that will drive a wedge between you and the members of your family. But there's something that we wanted to emphasize today that's really important to our family.
And it seems to be something that isn't talked about that often. It's that Satan can attack and influence the ways we treat each other. And most importantly, for us as parents, the way that we treat our children.
And it seems like Satan kind of pushes the idea on us that they're our children, that we own them. But that's not truth. It's that they're our brothers and sisters, not our property.
Yeah, and President Gornby Hinckley has a quote that goes along with that nicely that I used in a talk a few years ago. And it's that, never forget that these little ones are the sons and daughters of God, and that yours is a custodial relationship to them, that he was a parent before you were parents, and that he has not relinquished his parental rights or interests in these, his little ones.
I really like that. And it reminds me, you actually brought this up yesterday when we were talking about it, how when we try and take that ownership, it's kind of like we're robbing them of that identity, their true identity of being sons and daughters of God.
Yeah, that's their most true, most basic identity. Anyone that's having any kind of identity crisis, the one identity you can always fall back on is that you are a son or a daughter of our Heavenly Father.
And you definitely don't want your parents to rob you of that. So,
yeah.
There's also that worldly view of parents' authority being more important than the child or the child's feelings. And I definitely think that comes from Satan, that he's behind that, encouraging that we emphasize our authority and exercise that dominion over them, maybe in ways that are not so righteous.
Yeah, I know for sure that part of Satan's plan is to have us as parents, or even just as society, hold our children to a higher standard than we hold ourselves. And so there's just little things that children do that our natural tendency is to be annoyed or to get mad or to be frustrated when it shouldn't be that way.
Right. And all those things bring in just contention that divides the family, drives the spirit away. It does all of those things that it needs to eventually destroy the family.
Yep. So like one example I can think of is, if a child were to spill something or break something, how do most parents react? Or what's your natural reaction?
You're going to be annoyed or upset or...
But us as parents, if we spill something or break something, how do our kids react to it?
They're pretty gentle with us. I've noticed that a lot of times our four-year-old will come over and start cleaning up. Like if I've dropped an egg, but if they drop an egg, that's definitely not my first reaction, is to go over and try and make them feel better.
So why don't they get mad at us for making mistakes? And why do we get mad at them for making mistakes?
I don't know why.
I don't know. But it reminds me of the commandment to, you know, become as a little children, you know, to be humble and meek. But it just makes me think, you know, the next time you make a mistake, see how the children around you react. And that's probably how you should react to people making mistakes in your life.
Yep. Good advice.
Thanks.
So there's power in those family relationships. And the stronger our family relationships are, the more we can resist that influence of the adversary to destroy our family and to pull us down to where he is.
Yeah, and where he is, he will never have a family. So that's not where we want to be.
I think that sums up what we wanted to say about Satan attacking our families, right?
Yeah, I think that's about all we had planned.
Okay, and that's a good place to end for today. There's definitely so many more things we could talk about, but we'll save those for another episode. Thank you, Travis, for being my first guest and maybe my last.
Yeah, you're welcome. There's definitely going to be a lot of editing before this thing goes live.
And thank you for doing that.
You are welcome.
Do you have any final thoughts for us?
I actually don't, but I was hoping you did, or else it would be a real abrupt ending. And also, I really like your conclusions where your music fades in.
Who wrote that music, by the way? It was Travis.
Yeah, it was me.
So I hope that this short conversation has helped to shed light on the jealousy Satan has of you, your body, your family, and your potential. All things that he doesn't have and will never have. No matter how imperfect this life is, no matter how insufficient you feel, because you are here on earth, because you have your body, because you took that step in your eternal progression that Satan and his followers didn't take, you still have the opportunity to progress and grow and move forward. You are on the right path, the path that the adversary left and can never return to. I hope you will realize the importance of your body and your family in God's plan. I hope you will recognize that the adversary will target your weaknesses when it comes to those things, and that you'll realize that they're gifts from your heavenly parents. But I especially hope that you will remember that even with those weaknesses that we all have, through the power of the atonement of Christ, your imperfect self and your imperfect family will one day be made perfect.